Here.
Thank you, sir. Jaggy?
Here.
Thank you, sir. Brian Kirkland? Eddie Cook?
Here.
Thank you, sir. Jeffrey Fleetham?
Here.
Thank you, sir. Doug Lane?
Here.
Thank you, sir. David Byers? Tim Romer?
Good afternoon, Shay. I'm here.
Thank you, sir. Lev Gornick? J.R. Sloan?
Here.
Thank you, sir. Representative Nguyen? Senator Rick Gray? Richard Stevnick?
Rebecca Pereira here for Richard Stevnick.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
All right. Thank you, Shay. First item up will be an item where we actually completed the presentation. We had done a good amount of discussion and some additional follow-up materials have been shared with the committee members at the request of the members. This is regards to the Department of Administration Business One-Stop Project. I will go ahead and ask if there are any further questions or any further discussion. Otherwise, I think if there are no further questions or discussion, we're ready to look at a motion.
So Jeff Fleetham here with the, this I'm assuming we're talking about the question from Mr. Cook regarding who did the independent assessment. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So in looking at the information, I could have missed something. It looked like there was a couple hundred pages of stuff here, but it didn't look like there was an independent assessment. It looked like it was an assessment by 25 members of 6 agencies that are participating in this in a 4-hour think workshop. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Fleetham, good afternoon. My name is Justin Turner. I'm the Digital Government Program Manager here at Asset, and I'm managing this effort on behalf of the Department of Administration. The assessment was conducted by McKinsey and Company, and so the materials that we shared with the members were the presentations that were either presented by McKinsey and Company to those members of the various agencies that were interviewed during the process, or they were a number of workshops where the consultants with our vendor worked with the members of the various agencies to identify our roadmap forward, develop our customer journeys, develop the cost models for this project.
So then I'm not mistaken that McKinsey wasn't listed in the documents that we were sent. It was just that was the question, who did the independent assessment, and it is McKinsey and Associates?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Fleetham, that's correct. McKinsey and Company provided that assessment. The deliverables for that project were not a report, if you will. They were the culmination of the cost assessment, the presentations to the group, and the workshops to help develop those materials.
So then McKinsey and Associates did a cost associate assessment, or the 25 participants in the think workshops came up with that?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Fleetham, I apologize. I think I misunderstood your question.
So the original question presented at the last meeting was who did the assessment, and you just clarified that in the information that we had. It didn't show that it was McKinsey and Associates, but it's McKinsey and Associates. And McKinsey and Associates did a cost analysis as well. They were the ones who provided the cost analysis.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Fleetham, that's correct. They helped to build out that cost model.
Okay. One other question that wasn't a question that that Mr. Cook had asked before, but after reading through this, I want to add a couple of questions here. The original timelines, were phase one, 4 to 6 months, phase two, 6 to 12 months, phase three, after the completion of phase two, another 6 to 12 months. But those timelines have changed since the December 2019. I think that's when these were first done, is December 2019, is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Fleet, that's correct. And one thing I should point out is some of the terminology that we were using back in December 2019 is different than how we're referring to it today. So in some cases, phase one is actually not referring to the phase one of the build out of the Business One Stop, but was referring to the assessments and the initial prototype that we built back in 2019. So there may be some confusion there in terms of the timelines. The phase one that we're before the committee today on is the first year of our Business One Stop project. And we do anticipate we'll be able to build out in the first 6 months.
Okay. And thank you for bearing with me here, everybody, Mr. Turner. There is another question I have here. When we talk in here about additional agencies standardizing process, it's on your development of phase one and two, where you get your feasibility value versus feasibility. Your graph there, the green and blue, and I think it's on page 18. Mentioning that there's standardization of processes and templates for changes. Of course, processes are different than templates. What are you meaning by that in this part B? So, in other words, the process, the state, the journey of a business to start, we're not changing the journey of a business to start, really. We're changing where they can go to get the business started. In other words, a municipality has their process for getting a business license, right? And the Department of Revenue has a process for getting your transaction privilege tax license. You're not talking about, are you actually talking about changing those statutory processes, or are you just talking about how to plug those into this front-facing portal so that I as somebody who wants to start a business goes to the state one-stop shop and I can click, I want to start a construction business, boom, and it goes straight to the Registrar of Contractors site. Is that what you're talking about here?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Fleet,
I was just using that as an example. So,
but yes, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Fleet, you're correct in that. We are not changing the underlying agencies and what they're responsible for. This is a matter of establishing a front-end portal that a customer can go to handle all the different interactions they may do with various state agencies. So the one portal allows them to apply and have that information submitted to the Corporation Commission, the Secretary of State, and eventually we do hope to interconnect with the Registrar of Contractors as well.
I noticed that in your 2019, that was my first time I'd heard that. So so basically what we're talking, pardon my non-technical language here. So some of you have dealt with me before, JR and some others know that I do this. So we're looking at is the state's going to build a front-ending portal, okay, front-ending page, not unlike, but similar to Amazon. So I go to Amazon, I want to order something. It doesn't matter what the spaghetti is in the back. It all connects, right? Is that basically what we're talking about? Just wanted to make sure that we weren't developing a front-facing portal from the back end. So, okay. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Eddie.
Yeah, go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, I think when I asked for the data, as I've gone through basically the presentations, I think my intent of the question, and forgive me if I was not clear, but I think I was looking for, you know, the assessment as it relates to the data that was compelling to move this project into creating this vision of this one-stop portal. Again, trust me, I understand the concepts of many businesses having such a portal or even a brick and mortar counter for a one-stop kind of operation. But the information that was sent to me didn't really provide me, I think, the data that I was looking for. Like, you know, we investigated and spent time with these agencies, and each of the agencies has a certain, we'll call it customer base, and that customer base has provided, you know, surveys of how frustrating, whatever that might be, what works, what doesn't work, you know, and you've accumulated this data, and then my thought was the team that put this together would have summarized it in a way that says, all right, the satisfaction level of overall was a letter grade of a D or something. And by us moving to the portal, we're going to go from a letter grade of a D to a letter grade of an A over the next 5 years. I just didn't see that kind of data from those two reports.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Cook, you're correct. The assessment that we asked McKinsey to perform was not that type of assessment. One of the reasons why is a number of those assessments had been done over the years without successfully advancing the business one-stop concept. And the intent behind our assessment in 2019 at that point was to determine what is the best approach to develop a business one-stop and what would the estimated cost be to do it and how best can we approach it. So we did not initially interpret the assessment to be that level of feedback from customers. As part of our assessment, however, there were a couple of things we did to help develop the roadmap, including we had some both online and in-person interviews that were able to be done directly with customers to get their feedback on what parts they liked and didn't like, what they expected out of a business one-stop. And so we held some a design thinking workshop to really create those customer-centered perspectives and the journey that will map out where Business One Stop will go.
Yeah, I'm trying to have you guys help me, you know, support this because I'm trying to figure out how to justify, again, so such a large project. You know, I'm looking for, again, the return on the investment. I'm looking for the data that supports that. Again, I understand the kind of the one shop kind of portal and the value of that. But again, I'm just looking for that type of data, you know, so that I could feel comfortable in supporting that. And unfortunately, it doesn't sound like that's going to be available for this meeting.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Cook, that's correct. I don't know that I necessarily have that type of data available with me today.
Understood. Thank you.
Are there any other questions from the committee members?
Mr. Chairman, this is Shana Scheller. Would you like me to go ahead and read the conditions now?
If there are any further questions from the committee, we can go ahead and read the conditions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. ADUA Asset is recommending the PIDG be approved with the following conditions. Should development costs exceed the approved estimates by 10% or more, or should there be significant changes to the proposed technology, scope of work, or implementation schedule, the agency must amend the PIDG to reflect the changes and submit to ADUA Asset and ITAC for review and approval prior to further expenditure of funds. Monthly reporting on the project status is due to ADOA Asset no later than the 15th of the month following the start of the project. Failure to comply with the timely project status reporting will affect in the overall project health. The first status report for this project would be due on August 15th, 2021. And lastly, should the proposed project financials change based on the enactment of the FY 2022 budget, the project team will work with the ADOA Asset Oversight Team to update the financial information accordingly.
All right, thanks, Shana. Anyone have any questions on those conditions or comments on them?
Jeff Fleetham here.
Yes, sir.
I don't know exactly how to position this, but Mr. Cook has brought up a good point. Without an analysis of where this is going to take us from where we are today to where we will be once this project is put into place, It would seem that that would be a critical part of this program and the development. Can that be added in this motion to pass it, that kind of information is forthcoming? An analysis of the data of how this is going to improve, not how we feel it's going to improve, but how the citizens of the state, with some sort of data analysis, how this is going to improve their lot in starting a business. I'm not sure if that's what it kind of summarizes what Mr. Cook was saying or not. So
I think I understand that. Let me ask you a question. In the interviews that were done, as part of the assessment process, I know that some of those covered the, what were some of the pitfalls in the existing processes, and what are some of the challenges that folks faced using navigating the existing process. Do we have some background data on that we can pull together?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, yes, I believe we do have both raw data available from some of the interviews that was conducted by the McKinsey assessment. We also have information done by U.S. Digital Response as part of some of their customer research in analyzing the proposed solution and looking for ways to improve the proposed solution. I, Mr. Chairman, I also believe we may still have data from some of the previous iterations of Business One Stop and the assessments that were conducted on what the public is looking for a Business One Stop.
Okay. Thank you. So I'll ask a question then back to Mr. Cook. Does that information sound like what you're looking for here?
Well, again, I'm just, looking, as I stated before, you're always trying to build solutions to solve a problem. I totally get it. And again, I see the value of the one-stop portal. It's been successfully run, in different companies and different organizations. But for me, in order to feel comfortable to move forward, I'll be honest with you, I would expect to see, some type of data or survey of the last 5 years of, the issues of all the agencies that you're wanting to do this for. And, that could be an easy sell to me, right? And an easy sell to the public. But without that data, it's hard for me to kind of want to move forward and support this because, I could appreciate again, what the one-stop portal can do. But again, I just haven't heard truly that we have something that's broken with our agencies overall. I haven't been really, you know, satisfied by seeing any of that data. And again, you know, I don't mind if we want to push this out 30 days to the next meeting for your teams to, you know, provide that data up to us. But again, I don't know if there's a timeline here. You know, I know that the budgets were literally being passed now, and I know this is part of the governor's executive budget. But again, it's just one of those things for me, from a business perspective, I'm just going to have a hard time supporting this without that data. And I'm not sure we're going to get that for me to be in favor of this agenda item.
Okay. Thank you, Eddie. Well, tell you what, in order for us to go ahead and draw this to a close, I will ask the committee that based on the with the conditions and as stated, is there anyone willing to make a motion with regard to the project?
Mr. Chairman, Tim Romer, I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Doug. All right, any further discussion? Okay, with that, I will go ahead and call for a vote. All those in favor of approving this project?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, thank you, Jaggy. Were there any other approvals besides Mr. Romer and Jaggy?
I also approve, Chair.
Thank you, Doug.
I'd like to. I don't know if it's okay to have a conditional vote from a member or not. I still believe we need an analysis of where we are and where we'll be after this is here, rather than just an assumption about, like Mr. Cook mentioned, what's broke, what if this is statutory that we can't change without statutory changes. Timelines, many timelines, and some of these things are set statutorily. Some, of course, in rules, a variety of those kind of things. There doesn't seem to be that information here. And if McKenzie has all this data, it would be great to see it. So if I were to vote yes with the condition that this data be presented, I don't know if I can do that. And if I vote no, and then we present the data, that's what I'm looking for. So I'm really a little bit disheartened that data wasn't presented to the ITAC committee to begin with. But with that on the record here, we'll vote okay. But I think we need that information. I'll vote yes.
Okay, thank you, Director Fleetham.
Mr. Chairman, this is Stuart.
Yes, Stuart. I saw your note that you needed to abstain.
Yeah, can you note abstention? I'm not. I tend to side with Eddie generally, but I'm not in the know for the previous meeting or listening to the minutes. I don't have hours to listen to the minutes, so I'm not able to be informed enough to vote. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Stuart. I'm going to ask for a point of order, Chuck, with Director Fleetham's request. Do we have a mechanism to handle that?
Mr. Chairman, you currently have a motion in front of you. It's not conditional. The normal process would be to vote on your motion. We certainly have the ability, both as a committee and both oversight, to request the agency return with an informational updates. And that can be used to potentially address some of those things, but it doesn't resolve it before the director is being asked to vote. So as far as a point of order, you have a motion. You should continue on in the motion to see if it passes or fails.
Okay.
If he'd like to amend the motion to add a condition, right, he can make that request. And then you have to do a separate vote on that, if I'm making sense to you.
Yes, no, that makes sense. I'll ask the committee, what is the will of the committee? Would you like to amend the motion? Mr. Romer, it is your motion.
So the to extend the motion to include that stipulation of the informational briefing?
The informational briefing, I think, specific to include the, I guess, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Director Fleetham or Eddie, to include the data supporting the current state and future state benefits. I don't know if that's a good summary.
It sounds like a good summary to me. I am okay with adding that condition to it on the motion.
Yes, Chair. I think to add that condition will be, you know, good to go.
Okay, Director Fleetham, since does that address the concern for you?
So the condition then would be that this motion passes with the condition that we receive the data from McKinsey and Associates regarding their data of the benefits of making these changes. Is that right?
Yes, and I would include in that any other previous assessment data available, you know, with regards to the one stop, and just anything we had that I think would have been the basis for the justification that also goes back even to the original legislation from, what was it, 2018's budget, where we had the basically the funding for the assessment with McKinsey to begin. Well, it wasn't for McKinsey, it was the funding for the assessment that was ultimately awarded to McKinsey. You know, there was justification that went through the entire legislative process to even have that that funding approved to justify moving forward with an assessment process. So we're going back a couple of years. I just wanted to leave it open that if there is additional data or information available beyond McKinsey, that we capture that and share that with you as well.
I would certainly be more comfortable with that. I'm not sure about Mr. Cook.
Okay. I think so for me, JR.
Yeah.
Without knowing, we'll call it the quality of that data, it's hard for me to support that motion.
Okay.
I mean, again, I would be more open to having this agenda item pushed to next month if there's nothing. I don't know how much of a timeline that 30 days would harm the project. I don't know. But I mean, for me, if that data was presented to us, you know, at the next meeting and there was a vote on the agenda item, I'd be more open to that.
So let me ask that question to you, Justin. I want to try and move this forward because we do have two other items we need to cover and only 30 minutes left. Justin, what is the impact to the project if you were to need to wait until our next scheduled meeting, which is currently the 21st of July?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Committee, or members of the committee, that would actually have a significant impact on this project. Our current plan is to be able to rapidly develop phase one to have it ready for launch by the end of December. And so that would be 1/6 of the project timeline that we would have to be pushing back, and we would not be able to reach that time frame.
Okay. Thanks for that, Justin. All right, I'll ask the committee. I think I know we meandered a bit with the last motion. It may be appropriate to withdraw that motion and then consider reintroducing a new motion with a set of conditions that would satisfy moving this forward, or at least something we can vote on and then determine if we're, if the project is not approved, then it could be brought back, next month.
JR, motion to approve with the condition that Justin and team provide the problem statement, issues, future state, and value proposition associated with the solution. Did I cover it all there?
I believe that
would address it. So, Mr. Chairman, just if I could interject,
yeah,
from a staffing perspective, right? You've had a lot of good discussion here. To clean up your record, though, we have a couple of options. You have a motion on the table to approve with the current conditions, right, which you have a partial vote completed on. You can finish that vote if you wish to, and see the outcome. Another option is Mr. Romer could withdraw his motion. Jaggy could withdraw his second. We could take a new motion to clean up the record, which could contain conditions, right? Or a new motion could come from another member.
Okay. All right. Let's walk this path then. We have our original motion, which had no additional conditions. That was brought forward by Mr. Romer, seconded by Mr. Lang. I will call for a vote on that original motion, which carried no additional conditions. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 So I saw Mr. Romer, Director Fleetum, Doug Lang, and Mike Dobb. Jaggy, did you vote?
Aye, yes.
Okay, thank you.
JR, I was not an aye.
You were not an aye. Thank you for clarifying that, Director Fleetum. Okay, so that had 4 in favor, I counted. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's what I have on the record.
Okay, all those opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Thank you, Director Fleetum. And then Stewart is abstaining. Okay. So Chuck, with that, we have a majority.
Mr. Chairman, you have a vote of 4 ayes, 2 nays, and 1 abstaining.
Okay. All right, so we do have a majority to carry that forward as an approved project.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody. We will move on to the next item in our agenda.
Mr. Chair, this is Eddie.
Yes, Eddie.
I need to recuse myself from this next agenda item.
Okay. Okay, so the next item will be the DES, and they'll be talking about their storage refresh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Sudhi Syed. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here by members of the Department of Economic Security Project Team. I will let the individuals introduce themselves, after which I will give a brief overview of this project.
Mr. Chair, members, Mark Darmer, Chief Information Officer. Department of Economic Security.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Clayton Sykes. I'm the Deputy Chief Information Officer for the Department of Economic Security.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the Division of Technology Services at DES is requesting approval to refresh the hardware that resides in the Iron Mountain Data Center. Critical storage components are reaching the end of support, which will put the 140 plus in-house applications in danger of being on an unsupported platform. A system refresh is needed in order to maintain the overall system support and current reliability. The new storage solution will consist of all flash technology that will reduce the physical storage footprint from 7 full racks down to 2 physical racks for storage. At this time, I will turn this over to DES's project team to present additional information regarding this pitch and answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Sudhi, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. Next slide, please. The DES data center presence at Iron Mountain currently encompasses a fairly large physical storage presence. This 4 petabyte solution has been in production since 2015, and we have several key components that are now ending support as of December 31st of this year. All remaining storage components in the data center will hit end of support by January 31st of 2025. Overall, the physical footprint is fairly significant with 7 fully populated racks of storage equipment. This deployment requires roughly $4,000 a month in power circuit costs, along with a metered power consumption cost totaling approximately $18,000 per month. The current solution also presents technology challenges due to the lack of at-rest data encryption and physical separation of our disaster recovery elements. These two items alone continue to plague the organization with multiple negative audit findings. Next slide, please. So it is imperative that any technology solution deployed maintains our current reliability standards and existing vendor support agreements. Additionally, we are also looking to reduce the overall size of the data center presence, both in terms of complexity and physical layout. Our physical disaster recovery solution resides within the same physical location as the production infrastructure. It's actually bolted right next to it. The disaster recovery element is proposed to be moved from its on-prem location to the Microsoft Azure cloud, while at the same time providing an overall total at-rest data encryption solution. And lastly, in addition to reducing the overall physical footprint of our storage infrastructure, we will be able to realize a cost savings in terms of reduced power consumption, as well as simplified infrastructure management due to a more compact yet higher performing storage presence. Next slide, please. In order to maintain our Cisco validated design concept that is the core of the UCS FlexPod compute solution, NetApp was selected to provide the updated technology to replace our aging storage infrastructure. We will be leveraging professional services to deploy all the hardware, as well as conduct a non-disruptive data migration and move our disaster recovery solution into the Azure cloud. And overall, we're looking at a 120-day total migration effort. Next slide, please. The technology specifically that we're looking to deploy is a NetApp A700 enterprise level storage system. This particular storage solution provides all-flash technology and will actually collapse the 7 existing racks that we have in the data center down to 2. We'll also be leveraging Cloud Volumes ONTAP, the NetApp cloud-based software, to manage all of the disaster recovery footprint presence in Azure. And this will be combined with NetApp Cloud Insights to manage and monitor our cloud activity and ensure that we have efficient operations, as well as helping us limit waste in the cloud. Next slide, please. So overall project management responsibilities will be led by the DES PMO to ensure that all proper communication takes place at regular and frequent intervals. And while our vendor partners will be conducting the heavy lifting efforts of equipment deployment, data migration planning, and the actual execution of the overall effort, DES engineering staff and the PMO will be involved every step of the way to ensure compliance and overall success. Next slide, please. The project is expected to take 120 days, and this is in line with our existing maintenance support agreements that are in place for the hardware currently in production. While our overall timelines are dependent on hardware delivery, we do anticipate the project kicking off in July and running through the end of the year until we've achieved steady state operations. Next slide, please. The total project cost to procure all hardware and licenses, perform all maintenance, all professional services, secure and maintain the Azure cloud presence, and set up the necessary ongoing express route network circuits will total $6.3 million over the next 5 years. Next slide, please. Ultimately, a successful outcome of this project will be obtained when we reduce our physical storage footprint by 70%, move our DR presence to the cloud, and migrate all of our data to new storage with zero disruption to our critical business services. This will be achieved through dedicated project management and proper planning that will see us through to steady state operations. Next slide, please. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, in summary, the department is seeking approval for the procurement of new storage equipment to replace systems that are approaching end of life, an Azure cloud presence for our disaster recovery solution, and the necessary professional services to achieve success. Next slide, please. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this ends the presentation. Do you have any questions?
All right, thank you, Clayton. I will open it up to the committee for any questions that you have. Perhaps we wore ourselves out on the last one. All right, if there are no questions, I will turn it back over to Sudhi.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, assets recommending that the pitch be approved with the standard conditions. Condition one, should development costs exceed the approved estimates by 10% or more, or should there be significant changes to the proposed technology, scope of work, or implementation schedule, the agency must amend the pitch to reflect the changes and submit to ADOA Asset and ITAC if required for review and approval prior to further expenditure of funds. Condition two, monthly reporting on the project status is due to ADOA Asset no later than the 15th of the month following the start of the project. Failure to comply with the timely project status reporting will affect the overall project health. The first status report for this project is due August 15th, 2021.
Okay, are there any questions on those conditions from the committee? All right, if there are no questions, I will entertain a motion with regard to the project.
Mr. Chairman, this is Stuart. I'll move approval with the conditions listed.
Thank you, Stuart. Do we have
Mike
a second?
Dobb, I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Dobb. All right, all those in favor of the approval of this project?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that's a unanimous vote. Thank you, everybody.
So we will move on to our... For the record, we need to show that Eddie Cook was recused.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Eddie Cook did recuse himself from that vote. I should
have please document that. That'd be very important. Thank you.
It is officially part of the notes, I think, at least twice now, Eddie, so we should be covered.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks, Chuck, for reminding me. Okay, we'll move on to our last item, which is the Arizona State Retirement System.
All right, yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jacob Crimmins, and I'm an engagement manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. I am joined here today by members of the Arizona State Retirement System, who will introduce themselves now, followed by a brief overview of the project.
Mr. Chairman, this is Trent Kendall. I'm the project manager for this project and also the program manager for the project management office at the Arizona State Retirement System. And I'm joined by Dave King.
Mr. Chairman, for the sake
oh,
of
I apologize.
Your short schedule, can we waive the ADOA asset introduction on this?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So, in that case, Jake, sorry to talk over you. Mr. King, Mr. Kendall, if you guys are willing, you can jump right into your presentation.
I appreciate that. I apologize for being on mute earlier. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Dave King. I'm the Chief Information Officer at ASRS. Today, we are here to present a pitch to you to upgrade one part of our pension administration system. It's called the payroll calculation reengineering. If you can go to the next page, Jacob. What I want to set the stage for first is that we have already modernized the vast majority of our pension administration system. We just finished a pitch called Oracle Modernization that moved all of our applications off the desktop, desktop applications into a web-based browser. And that all just got completed this past month. We now want to modernize just one small part at 2% of the overall code of our pension administration system. We want to convert that. It was an old batching pension payroll system where once a month we calculate now 150,000 pensions in 1 3-day span today and convert those into pension payments with the debits and credits and all that calculated on the fly. All at one time. It's very system heavy, user heavy, people heavy, everything heavy at that time. We want to modernize that by converting that to real-time recalculations of pensions as needed. So right now, you may have not changed your pension for 10 years. We'll still recalculate it every month. In the future, we want to make it so that we're only recalculating when we need to, but we are recalculating right at the moment you need it. So that you as a user, if you go in and change your elections for tax, for federal or state tax, we'll immediately tell you what that impact is to your pension. Today, we say, thank you for your changes. you'll see your paycheck and changes will be reflected on first of the next month. So we're not as helpful as we want to be. Since we have built our entire system in-house to date, and we only want to change this small percentage of our code, we've decided that this does not work for a standalone SaaS solution. So it, as in terms of, we don't want it delivered by a third party and managed by a third party. We want the software to be in-house with the rest of our software. And third, data should not be stored with that third party. So we don't want it to be a standalone software as a service, and it should not, data should not be stored with a third party, because we have, that's 150,000 pieces of PII out there, personally identifiable information, and their beneficiaries if they have health insurance. So we don't want to have to share that with anybody else. The benefits of this new system is much more, we converted our forfeiture system many years ago to give you a real-time estimate of what your refund would be if you refund out of the system. And yet we're just now getting to where we'd like to tell you exactly what your changes would be to your pension right away, instead of you waiting until you see the deposit on the first of the month. So this is a huge benefit for our members as well. Jacob, if you'll switch to two slides from now, I want to jump through so we don't spend a ton of your time today. We did put this out to RFP, and the conditions of the RFP was to have a vendor provide the solution for us using our technologies and our systems so that we could store the data. But we did quote it out, have a vendor quote it out to build this for us, just in case you could get a vendor to do it faster, better, and cheaper than we could. The vendor bids came in higher than we can do it for ourselves. And the one that came in even close, bid number three, we did a RFP evaluation scoring, and they scored the lowest because their bid was very cloudy as to what exactly they were bidding on. Jacob, if you could move forward again a slide. We applied these conditions to the RFP to see if vendors could do this for us. We scored them on experience and expertise and resources, with a few different pieces in there. And then their method of approach, how are they going to actually do the work? And then cost and value had a portion as well, out of 1,000 total points. And you can see that the lowest bid number three, came in with the lowest overall evaluation score based on the bid they gave us. Go to the next page, please, Jacob. Any vendor doing work for us, we would still have to provide oversight. And as you can see, we believe that we would need, I'm sorry for the abbreviations in here, TL is technical lead oversight, to make sure that they provide an acceptable technical solution. Project management oversight is the PM. QA is quality assurance. And CM is configuration management. Again, I apologize, these are not spelled out. And then we also felt like we would need to provide our own resources a little bit to integrate a vendor solution with ours and test and make sure that the actual testing, that it does work as expected. And so all of that would cost almost as much as it'll cost for us to just build it ourselves, because the only thing we have to add to this is a little bit more full-time work on these pieces and a couple more resources. Go to the next page, please. This is a bit of a breakdown you all have seen in the presentation on an analysis by our procurement group and a TSD, IT services overall together, on what we thought were the good and bad of those bids. And you can see bid number three, which came closest to us, it's unclear what they were even estimating. And they have a lot of experience in other IT solutions, but no mention of what we wanted to do or in how we wanted to get things done. Next slide, please. Just wanted to show you what kind of oversight we, as you're fully aware, but I just wanted to just demonstrate what kind of oversight we have even before a project comes to ITAC. We have a program sponsor, which is myself, and then I report within, I'm a part of our senior management team going up the middle here. And then above us is our executive management team, which includes Paul and our board of trustees, Paul Mastin, excuse me, and our board of trustees. We do have oversight from ITAC and JLBC as well. ASSET is not specifically listed on here, but that is part of our governance as well. Sorry, Charles and Jacob, but you guys are on this chart. Within our agency, we have a separate strategic planning team and a separate information security team. Jeff Hickman is our security officer. He makes sure that he and his team make sure that everything we build is secure and sound within the NIST standards and all the federally regulated standards. We do have a number of project teams. This project will be done by one of those teams over the next 2 years. Next slide, please. Our overall timeline, this is a Gantt chart. We do work in an agile format, which what that means is every 3 weeks we reassess the next most important things to do. That's been very successful for us. We've done it for the past 10 years. So we just highlight that basically every 3 weeks we'll have another sprint of work done. And based on that, we'll decide on what the next sprint of work should be. And so that gets us through the end of the project where we have done all the most important things first and all the least important things last. Next slide, please. I'm almost done. Go ahead to the next one. For accounting purposes, $998,000 for professional and outside services to do a portion of our team with temporary workers, and the majority of our team would be with full-time employees. Next slide, please. Next slide. We have a very robust change management process, and we have a lot of measures of success. One big one is that we get off of the old technology that we're on, that our pension calculation system was built on in the batch processing, and we replace it as part of our Java solution. And that our new payroll calculation does not impact daily business process, but rather enhances it. We have several other measures of success as well. Next slide. That's it. That's my presentation. Does any of the members of the committee or chairman have any questions?
And we'll open up to the committee for any questions you may have.
Mr. Chair, Eddie.
Yes, sir.
All right. Mr. King, I really appreciate seeing in the PIDG your moving and modernization of Oracle save, in a sense, a taxpayer $1 million a year based upon the PIDG.
Mm-hmm.
The question I have for you, maybe it's more for humor. What version of Oracle were you on that then you obviously moved into the Oracle modernization? What were you on as this platform that you decommissioned?
Sure.
What version?
I don't quite recall the version number. They had a product. Oracle is basically a database company. They're very, very good at enterprise databases, and we are still on the Oracle database as a database. And we are moving to a version 19 this summer. Actually, we're currently on version 12. Version 12 is still supported. We're not that far behind. They just made a lot of rapid improvements. So we're moving up to 19 this summer with FDE, so we don't need to present it this way. But the technology we modernized off of, they had a desktop, basically display of a database in Oracle Forms and Reports, they called it. They stopped supporting that last year, and they gave us several years notice, and so we needed to get off of that, and we used that opportunity to modernize into a web-based system with all open source, easy and current technologies so that it's easy to find replacement staff as turnover inevitably happens. So that's the part we modernized. We're still on the Oracle database itself, but everything that touches the Oracle database and access to the Oracle database is now modernized.
Thank you very much. Just some information to share. The Maricopa County Assessor's Office that I inherited, the sad part about it, we were on Oracle 6i, and that's unsupported. So I totally understand the importance of this project and what it does. And that's been my team's efforts to move off of that platform, which we have, and moving forward. But I totally understand where your team has been and where it's at, and really appreciate your team's efforts.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cook.
Thanks, Eddie. Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, this is Stuart.
Yes, go ahead, Stuart.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Mr. King, I'm interested in the opportunity cost of this. If you're going to use your own employees, what are those employees not going to be doing in order to complete this extra work of this project?
Yeah, that's a very good question. We have continually, how do I want to answer this? They will obviously be working on this project in lieu of other projects. Since we have completed the Oracle modernization, the other projects are all discretionary ones that the business would like us to do with our staff as we have time to further improve things. Further, there's always regular enhancements that can be done on a system. But this team is working on this to reduce our technical debt on our old technology that's been voted on by our senior management team as more necessary and more important than any discretionary projects they might want us to do. So the opportunity cost is that we still have a modernized system a couple of years from now when this team is done. And we may not have done one or two more small projects to take one step out of a business process that's currently there or two steps out of another one. Those will be worked on as time allows. What the great thing about our oversight is that senior management gets to vote on every project we do and decide which ones are most important to them as a whole for the agency.
Great, great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right, any final questions? I'm going to try and keep us in our time box here. Okay, if there's no further questions, we'll turn it back over to you, Jake, for the conditions. Read fast.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Asset is recommending that the PIDGE be approved with the following standard conditions. Number one, should development costs exceed the approved estimates by 10% or more, or should there be significant changes to the proposed technology scope of work or implementation schedule, the agency must amend the PIDGE to reflect the changes and submit it to ADOA Asset and ITAC if required for review and approval prior to further expenditure of funds. Number two, monthly reporting on the project status is due to ADOA Asset no later than the 15th of the month following the start of the project. Failure to comply with the timely status reporting will affect the overall project health. And the first status report for this project is due on July 15th.
Okay. Any questions on those conditions?
This is Eddie. I would like to move that we approve the payroll calculation reengineering project.
Thank you, Eddie. Do we have a second?
I second that, Director Fleeta.
Thank you, Director Fleeta. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Thank you. That's a unanimous vote. Thanks, everybody, for maximizing the time today. Appreciate the attendance of the members. Good discussion. Thank you, Dave and your team, for a good presentation. Also, those that preceded you. We will be back on July 21st, I think, is the date of our next meeting. And we'll look forward to talking to you all then. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you.